Well, take your Bibles, if you would, to turn to Psalm 139. And if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we're going to read here for a little bit. Let's look at Psalm 139, and you can read silently. I'll read out loud, and I'll just begin here and read till I decide to stop. Look at verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So you know we've been going over these different things about God. And how God is relevant in our lives, right? He is here. He is real. God is not some fairy tale, right? Or mythical creature. He is a ever-present, all-powerful, all-knowing being with no beginning and no ending. So one of the keys to understand about God in His omniscience, which we talked about last week, and His omnipresence, which we're going to talk about tonight, is that God is not bound by the realms of time. Okay? He is outside of those bounds. God made those bounds and created those things for us. All right? Those bounds are only present here for us. We see days, months, years, minutes, seconds, etc., etc. God does not see that. I know it's difficult to understand, but you've got to just kind of step outside of your finiteness and understand His infiniteness. Okay? Yes, I know it. Everybody's mind just went. Okay? That's exactly how it works, because it's almost impossible for us to do that. But try, okay? Try. To God, Adam and us, if you will, coexist. You understand? We're not bound by it. You say, but that was thousands of years ago. Yeah, but you've got to understand this thing. God is seeing all of this at once. He knows no beginning, no ending. God is. So this thing of Him being all-knowing and all-powerful, those are things that we really cannot just grab hold of. They're just, you kind of swing and miss all the time. It's just not something we can fully grasp. So guess what? It's by faith that we understand these things to be true. Such is the omnipresence of God. You and I can only be in one place at one time. And just until recently with the internet and semi-recently, and we'll call it recently for you older people, which I know there are not any in here, the radio. Okay. Anybody remember when that first happened? Don't raise your hand. Okay. I'm just teasing. Now, I must have had too much coffee today. I've been back and forth about four times. All right. Now, the thing is that communicating and being, you know, seeing like internet, we can get news from anywhere now, and that wasn't always the case. You know, it's just amazing what technology has done. So in a sense, you could say, well, I can be here and I'm all over the world here on this little device here, this little camera that people are seeing me in their own homes and across the world. We even have some of our missionaries that watch our services online. Brother Losi has been giving me a compilation of all the different people and countries that have been viewing our services. It's really quite interesting, all the different things he's found out. But so you could say it in that way. But so multiply that times like infinite, all right, infinity. And that's what God is and can do and is as far as omnipresence goes. Okay. Do you understand? You're kind of getting the drift. So, I mean, that's about the best we can do in thinking and trying to rationalize it and put it into human terms. He's everywhere. I looked at the definition of omnipresent, and I came up with a cool word. And you should go through and study it. It's really unique. But the definition says that omnipresent is present in all places at the same time. Whoa. Remember, God's not bound by time, so this is possible with God and God alone. All right, it means also that it's a universal presence. It's unbounded presence. Again, God is not bound. And then there's this new word that I had to learn. It's called, I hope I say it right, ubiquitary. Yeah, you know, you've heard ubiquitous before, right? But God is ubiquitary. That means he's one that exists everywhere. That's God. He is omnipresent. So as we read here, did you notice what David said in Psalm 139? He said these things about God. He said, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell at the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. You understand? God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's unbound. He has a universal presence, and he's in all places at the same time. This is an attribute of God. This is what God is. Now, throughout Scripture, we have to start with this thing about God that he is not bound, right? God is not bound. He's only bound by his word, but that makes sense because if he ever did not keep his word, he wouldn't be God. But he's not bound by time. He's not bound by space. He's not bound by any of these things. Listen to what it says in John chapter 4 in verses 23 and 24. This is Jesus speaking. He said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we have to understand that this premise that God is a spirit. He's not bound by a body. You understand? God is everywhere at all times. He's omnipresent. But God chooses at times to do, he does take some forms. He has in the past, and he maybe will in the future. You understand that just because God does that, he only does it at his own choosing to be bound. For instance, let's just take for example, in the Old Testament, right? God came down and talked with this guy named Abram. He sat down and he had a meal with him and talked to him. You understand? There are times in the Old Testament that God physically comes to this earth or dwells with man. You understand about those things? He can choose to do that. But guess what? Even while he did that, he was still everywhere. Try that on for size. Whoa. You see, how is that possible? Because he's God. Because he's God. Think about this. In the fullness of time, what did God do? Sent his son. Jesus is not part of God. He is God. You understand? So I know that doesn't make sense to you or to me. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but the three are one. Okay, it's not thirds. Like when Jesus was here on earth, there wasn't two-thirds of God in heaven. Do you understand that? See, no, I don't. See, I don't either. That's what's so wonderful about it. It's not something we can fully comprehend. Because we just don't have the ability to do such things. But this is what we've got to kind of try to wrap our little brains around and to understand that God exceeds all that we ever could think that he is. And that should drive us closer to him. That should drive us to know that God is. He's everywhere. Think about this. My dad is here and my mom is watching one of the little ones tonight. But when I was a kid, I did certain things when my mom and dad were there. And I did other things when they weren't there. Come on now. And my parents probably knew more than they let on that they knew. But I'm sure that I got away with some things that they still don't to this day know about. I remember one of them. It's one I don't mind sharing. My sister was... Hello, Missy, if you're watching. My sister was quite an antagonist. She's 18 months younger than I am. I'm the eldest perfect child. And she is the middle child, troublemaker, and such and so forth. Any middle children out here tonight? Okay. Yes, all you trouble. Look at all this trouble. I can see it in your eyes. Okay. So she had this way of stirring me up. And one day our rooms were kind of across the house from each other on the same level, the basement level. And she took something out of my room and I caught her doing it. And so she ran to her room. And she shut the door. And you remember those hollow core doors? It's this thin piece of wood on the outside and the crisscross, or whatever is in, cardboard inside, kind of makes a hollow core. So the bathroom was right next to her room. And so I was upset. She locked her door. She's in there. And there was a hairbrush. I take this hairbrush and I just start chunking it at the door. Bang! Bang! Put seven holes, pretty good grouping too, right in the middle of that door. Now we decided, mom and dad were home. We decided that we were both going to get in trouble. So we put up a little poster. I mean, you still remember it, little brown puppy dog in a field of sunflowers. We put it up on our door. That stayed there for 7 years. I was over in Sicily in the military. My sister's getting married and getting ready to move out of the house. I get a phone call from my mother. What is this? They took the poster down. The door. Okay, now, we were all like that. But God is never not there. He sees everything. He knows everything. You think you're in your own little private space where nobody else is, maybe even in the darkness or separated from everyone else, God is still there. He's there. He's always there. He's never not there. That's the omnipresence of God. Even in our darkest hours, when we're furthest away from God, so we think, he's right there. That's the omnipresence of God. That's why we often say, as we walk away from God, all we've got to do is turn around. We don't have to walk the 10 miles back to Him because He's right there. That's what God is to us. In Genesis 28:15, it says, "And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee." That's God. Remember what Jesus said. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You say, well, how is that possible? That can't be possible. All things are possible with God. This is God. God is omnipresent. God was with His chosen people. In Exodus chapter 6, the Bible tells us that God spake unto Moses and said unto him, "I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan and the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I've also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burden of the Egyptians." What kind of God can do that and not be there? He's there. How did He know what they were going through? Because He was with them. He heard their groanings. He saw what they were going through. Why? Because He was there. He was there. In 2 Corinthians it says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" Paul is talking here. He says, "For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." He's omnipresent. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, it says, "And ye said, Behold, the Lord your God has showed us His glory and His greatness, and we have heard His voice." This is Moses talking about the testimony of the children of Israel out of the midst of the fire. "And we have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and He liveth." Wow. Moses himself, he said, "God, let me see your glory, right? I want to see it." He said, I can't show it to you, you're going to die. "To tell you what, I'll put you in this rock, I'll cover you with my hand." Wait, how can he do that if he's not there? He was there. He is there. God is omnipresent. In 1 Chronicles, I skipped one. In Joshua 1:9, God told Joshua, "Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Everywhere. Everywhere. Remember this verse? It was foretold in the Old Testament, but came true in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. God is a spirit. God is everywhere. It's one of His attributes. It's one of His characteristics. It's part of who He is. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. But He's all present. He's unbounded. He's everywhere at the same time. He's ubiquitous. It's a fun word. I like that word. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, if you'd like. Remember this account in Scripture? I love John chapter 1. It's one of my favorite verses to use in verse 1 to help people understand that other Bible versions are phonies. Because almost every, without exception, every one of them gets this first verse wrong. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Capital G. Most other versions say a little g God, taking away the deity of Christ. God is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Equal parts, not thirds, not lesser God. Anyways, the same was in the beginning with God, and there were made by Him, without Him was not anything made that was made. What? You're saying Jesus was at creation? Yeah, He sure was. Guess who else was there? Holy Spirit. Moved upon the face of the waters? Yeah. And God said, let us make man in our image. Last I checked, that was plural. Even my hatred of English allows me to understand that that's plural. Us, our. When was this? Oh, approximately 6,000, give or take, a few years ago. You mean God was there then? Yes. And He's still here now. You understand that this is who God is. In Proverbs 15:3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, in Hebrews. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. How can He do that if He's not there? He's there. Everywhere. All the time. Because time is nothing to Him. In Isaiah 57 it says, for thus saith the high and lofty one, that, oh I love this, inhabiteth eternity. How long is that? Yeah. Come on. This is our God. It says, it goes on to say, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with Him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth, for the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him, and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord. And I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, which it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. How does God know that? How's God aware of what the wicked do and what they don't do? Because His eyes are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good. In 1 Kings 8:27 it says, but will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less is this house that I have builded? This was David speaking. Solomon speaking about the house, the temple that God chose to dwell in. You know, His glory filled that place. He chose to put His name there. But even that did not mean that God was only contained in that place, and at that moment of time, He wasn't anywhere else. That's not true. That's not how God works. He's omnipresent. He's simultaneously everywhere at the same time, if you will. In Jeremiah 23, it says, I am a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. This is God's testimony. This is who our God is. Now, In light of all of that, then what should we do? What should we do with that knowledge? God is here tonight. He's in this place. He's with us. He's always been and always will be. What does that mean to us? What does that mean for us? What does it mean to you? Does it mean something that God is sitting right next to you? That God is here tonight, in this place? Maybe we ought to be like Moses and you say, "Pastor, I've been waiting for you to tell me to kick my shoes off in church." My wife made me promise to make sure I didn't have any holes in my socks tonight. I'm on holy ground. No, but do we really feel that way? Is there really a sense of that to us? Because last I checked, if I knew my mom and dad were around, I was going to behave a certain way. But if they weren't around, I kind of felt like I had a little bit of liberty to kind of get away with a few things. That's human nature, folks. What liberties do we take that we think that God is not here? Or we say, well, or have you heard this before? Boy, at church, I really felt the presence of God tonight. Then why don't you feel it all the time? If he's omnipresent. And I know he is. Folks, we got to figure this thing out. So for us now, in this time, if you will, in this order of things that God has orchestrated, we have something special that maybe some didn't have in the past, and that's called the Holy Spirit of God. You understand that God lives within the believer. In Romans chapter 8 and verses 9 through 11, it says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Folks, if we're born again tonight, we have the Holy Spirit of God in us. His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So guess what? Everywhere I go, God is with me. He's in me. And guess what? Paul said, "Hey, don't you know you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God." That's what the omnipresence of God should do for us. We ought to glorify God with our body and our spirit. They're God's. They belong to him. He is dwelling in them. And that's what our life is supposed to do. That's what our life is supposed to be. Because he's everywhere. He's in us if we are saved. In Matthew 28, Jesus said he would be with us always, even unto the end of the world. But that was the end of his speech. Did you know what he said before that? Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." He said, because I'm omnipresent, because I'm with you, we need to go and do something. as Brother Freddie talked about Sunday night, doing exploits. Because we love the Lord and because we're saved, we're born again. Our lives should glorify Him. Because He's omnipresent. Because He's with us always. Jesus said in John 14, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. You say, I've never seen Jesus. But we have. You say, huh? You know, one day we shall see Him as He is. But right now, where do we get to see Him? The Word was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You understand, we get to see Jesus this way, for now. But He's with us and in us through the Holy Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 1, remember, they were given the promise that they should receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You said, does that mean that when Jesus ascended up into heaven and they were waiting in the upper room, that God was not here on this earth? No. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It just means that in this particular form, in this particular fashion, He wasn't sent yet. But God is still everywhere at all times. In particular ways, in particular fashions, God decides to show Himself to us. But He's always there. See, because I can't see Him, He's not there. I've enjoyed watching my little ones grow. How many of you have ever dealt with kids before, right? Little babies. It's fun because when they're really little and they have a passy, you know, pacifier, a stopper, whatever you call it. Plug, yeah, I don't know. The thing that makes them be quiet. Okay? But there's other words for them, right? But it's funny when they're little, right? You can take that thing, and if you hide it under something, they think it's gone. They don't understand that. But then when they start to learn, y'all pretty soon they move your hand. Because they get it. You know, they understand. It's not really gone, I just can't see it. Folks, He's not gone, you just can't see Him. He's omnipresent. And just because God doesn't choose to reveal Himself, you say, but I'm a believer, and I know the Holy Spirit of God's in me, but maybe I don't really understand that, or I don't realize it. Maybe you just can't hear Him. Maybe you just cannot sense that He's there. Maybe it's because of sin blocking that, or quenching the Spirit of God. That happens. But guess what? Quenching does not mean erased. So God is omnipresent. When are we going to do what the Scripture says and be full of the Holy Spirit of God? Be filled with Him. Wherein is excess, right? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It ought to alter our lives. You know, being drunk with wine alters your life. Being filled with the Spirit of God will alter your life. Because you've grasped the omnipresence of God. And you'll glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Paul tells Timothy to hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. The Holy Ghost is God. Jesus is God. God the Father is God. God is God. God is omniscient. He's omnipotent. And He's omnipresent. And guess what?
He's ours.
If you're born again, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's your God. He's your all-powerful God. He's your all-knowing God. He's your all-present God. And that's something special. And it's something we need to get back in touch with as believers in Christ. I said before, if you really believe that God would kill you the next time you told a lie, you wouldn't tell a lie. If you really believe that God is omnipresent, what things would you stop doing? Or what things would you start doing? He's our God.